Hey TWD fam, it's been a long hiatus from our beloved Walking Dead TV show, but the good news is, we get a brand new episode of The Walking Dead this week. Until the episode airs, we're going to help you out, because we're going to be chatting with special guests to tell us their Walking Dead story. Some of these fine folks will be Walking Dead writers, super fans, Walking Dead content creators, or they could even be all of the above. This is their Walking Dead story. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to The Walking Dead, a Walking Naked podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Justin.
Hey, I'm your other host, Kelly, and together we are the world's greatest mother and son podcast duo if you are listening to Walking Dead podcasts.
And you're searching for mother and son podcasts.
Oh, and son duo. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
And two people doing it, and right. That do it on a Tuesday.
Right. Between 8:15 and 8:30.
Exactly. Yeah. Then in that makes pajamas, us the very best.
In their pajamas, yeah. And in Texas and in Georgia. There you go.
There you go. Awesome. Exactly. So we're very excited to bring you guys another one of our, I guess, TWD story podcast, yeah. Which has been a whole lot of fun. I am personally super excited to talk with the person that we're talking with tonight. It's been a long time coming. We've been trying to do this for a long time, it seems. And we are talking with Mr. Ronnie Hayes of Make a Path Presents, the biggest and bestest YouTube channel devoted to The Walking Dead. So thanks so much, Ronnie, for joining us.
Yeah,
no problem. Your PayPal payment for saying that is on its way.
Yes, it was only $20, right, or something like that. Yeah. I mean, that's a good amount.
I thought we agreed on 10, but okay.
Hey, oh, you got a bonus. You got a nice bonus,
Ronnie. I think that honestly, the whole reason that we are doing these interviews with content creators is so that he had an excuse to interview you.
I think so. I mean, I really think that is. I mean, you and one other person, I think, were the only, the main people, not the only, but the main people I wanted to talk with about The Walking Dead. I've been watching your YouTube channel not a super long time. I don't even know how I came to find your channel, but I just know one day I just suddenly was like some random video popped up in probably my Facebook feed because I follow way too many Walking Dead fan groups. And checked it out, and ever since then I've been a big fan of yours. I think you have amazing Walking Dead content, really good stuff, really in-depth, detailed analysis of episodes, and you don't hold back, which is really great. So
I try not to.
I like it when people don't sugarcoat whenever The Walking Dead screws stuff up, and you know they do every once in a while. So
yeah, they do.
We're
kind of obligated as, you know, super fans to kind of keep them a check in a way, you know?
I think so. I think it definitely helps. Who knows if Kirkman or Gimple ever listen or watch any of the people's stuff, but I think if they did sometimes, they would see, like, people genuinely care. They're not out there, even whenever you critique certain things, you're not out there to bash it. You're just there to kind of say, well, this didn't work and this worked for me. Here's some things that, you know, in your opinion, that you feel like they could do better. Well, Kelly, do you want to kick this off?
Yeah. Okay, so we have basically three questions, give or take a few dozen, about your Walking Dead experience. And the first one is, tell us your Walking Dead story, and how has it changed your life? So it's kind of a...
It's a two-parter.
There you go.
And tell us about your YouTube channel. And in case anybody's wondering... That's Ronnie's daughter in the background. if you want her to come on and say something to us, she can definitely come on and talk to us. That's totally okay.
Hello, this is the best podcast.
Why?
Okay, never mind then.
Man, she's smart. She's like, why is it the best?
I have listened to this podcast.
Going right now. Yeah, she's like, oh, great.
Yeah, don't make me lie, Daddy.
Fix my Happy Gilmore and get out of here. We apparently had a scratch on the disc, and it shut off.
Oh, that's never good. No. Not in the middle of Happy Gilmore. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's the modern equivalent of whenever I was growing up, and Kelly would have to buy me new VHS tapes of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because I broke them from watching it too many times.
Not broke it. They caught on fire.
That's true. Yes. I think I watched that third one at least 150 times, which is kind of sad because that's the worst Turtles movie of all of them.
Worst one.
Yeah, it's the worst one, but I watched it so many times.
Yeah, they kind of go downhill after one. I mean, two's a little bit better, but it's cheesy, especially when the parents complained. I don't know if anyone remembers, but back then the parents complained a lot, and that's why the Turtles in the second one use like everything around them instead of their weapons.
I don't think I ever noticed that.
Yeah,
if you rewatch it now, you'll see that when they're fighting in the very beginning in that toy store or the mall, they're actually using like sausage links instead of his nunchucks because parents complained.
These sausage links are so much more dangerous and effective than my nunchucks.
Yeah. Right.
Which annoys me completely because the original source material wasn't, you know, that kid friendly at all.
No, yeah, it's a lot darker for sure.
Oh yeah.
Now the first one was a darker film. It definitely, when you compare it to 2 and 3 and whatever that abomination that came out a few years ago. So
agreed.
Yeah, that one was rough. The next one.
Yeah, I took my daughter to movies to see that, and she was like, "I don't like how they look."
Well, they look definitely creepy.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
I like your daughter, man. I think she needs to. I think you need to start getting her on camera and giving her reviews of certain things. So
I'm gonna start.
Yeah, she's very honest and upfront about what she does and doesn't like, which is good.
Oh yeah, she'll tell you straight up like this is garbage.
That's awesome. I can't remember where we left off with the question. What'd you say, Kelly?
Yeah, you guys were talking about the first question. Basically, are you asking, like, how has my life changed being a fan of The Walking Dead?
If I remember your question. Yeah, and how did you get into the whole Walking Dead thing?
Well, for me, I think it's kind of interesting for me when I look back on it because I got into it because I was writing a screenplay for a zombie movie years and years ago. I used to take all these courses and study to get into screenwriting for movies and television. And my best friend, Larry, lived across the street from me at the time. And he comes running over and he tells me, "Yo, dude, you got to watch this zombie show." He's like, "It's the best. They got episode 1 on." And I guess episode 2 was playing right after that. Because I started when it was airing season 1 on episode 2. So I watched the rerun of episode 1 and I immediately ran back out across the street and I told him, I said, this is it. This is our new zombie shit. And at the time, I didn't know it was a comic book. Like, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know how big it was or how big it was going to be. But I just told him that it's definitely going to be on for a few seasons. This show is amazing. So I loved it right from the start. So ever since then, I've been watching it on TV as the episodes air. But what's funny, though, and how it changed my life in a big way, I feel, I scrapped my screenplay. My screenplay was supposed to be like a movie series in my head, you know, Delusions of Grandeur. It was supposed to be.
Those are goals. Yeah. They call those goals. Yeah.
Yes.
It was supposed to be like this 4 or 5 part movie epic that spanned over 2 or 3 generations in the post-apocalypse. You know what I mean? Like a civilization that was built post-apocalypse. A little more organized, though, than what The Walking Dead is. Essentially, like in the comic now, it's a civilization. But I had something a little bit more high-tech, a little bit more sci-fi. That was my original idea that I was working on. Well, when I saw The Walking Dead, I scrapped it completely. Like, I just quit. I was like,
"That's crazy.
This is all we need, you know?"
You're like, "I don't need to do anything.
I can't top this."
Yeah, I'm like, it's done. Because all I wanted was, when I pitched my idea, I wanted a zombie show that people would actually cry over. And that's all I want. I wanted something that was real and from the heart and dramatic. And I wanted it to have a meaning and a purpose. And when The Walking Dead came on, I didn't know they would get there. But you can tell there was something genuine and authentic about it. And so, yeah, I stopped. I mean, slowly but surely, I just gave up. I'm like, that's it. This is we don't need anything else. And then after, I think it was just 2 years ago when I was doing my YouTube channel, I mentioned a couple ideas I had for this screenplay, and I had an overwhelming number of responses asking for more details. And then I talked a little bit more about it. And then I had a ton more people came on and said, we don't want just The Walking Dead. You're completely wrong. Like, we want to devour more shit, you know, more zombie material.
Oh, my God. It's so true.
But then I thought about it, too, because I keep hearing, you know, the zombie genres, it's oversaturated. And I disagree. Yeah, they might do, like, car commercials and TV commercials with zombies, and they might be on T-shirts and, like, all this stuff. But if you look at good quality content, it's not even close to being oversaturated. Look at vampires, for an example. Like, I had somebody ask me, can you make your post-apocalyptic story but take zombies out of it? Because we already got a lot of zombie stuff. And I'm saying, well, how much good zombie stuff do we have? Look at vampires. There's, like, you know, a handful of really good vampire movies.
Yeah.
But if someone came out now and says, hey, I'm going to write another vampire movie, are you going to sit there and be like, no, we have enough. That's been done. No, people greenlight it. They're like, oh, vampires, they're hot. You know, and I feel like it's the same thing with zombies. I think in a zombie genre, we're kind of restricting ourselves saying, you know, at first it was George Romero and then someone else tries to do it. And they're like, well, no. He has it, you know, he has it on lock. And now it's like Kirkman. I feel like there's more room to put more content out there, especially different. It has to be different. Like, I don't want someone coming up with, you know, the generic Walking Dead. And we don't want that. You bring us something new, different, put a little twist on it.
That movie Maggie that came out over the summer, was it the summer? I mean, I think that's kind of an interesting take on zombies and everything that like I totally agree with you. You can expand what exactly a zombie film is. I definitely agree, because we can't get enough of it. Kelly and I, we're always trying to take in more apocalyptic style shows, books. I mean, before we started this podcast, we were talking about Fallout, which, you know, doesn't necessarily have zombies. It has ghouls and whatnot that are basically look like zombies.
Right.
I mean, just thinking over the past, let's just say the past decade, there's only been a few films that you can really point to. And I guess Shaun of the Dead's, that's even farther back than the past decade, because I think that was 2004. But there's only a handful that really, really stand out. So yeah. No, I definitely agree with you.
Absolutely. Like, I'll even risk saying, look back in the past 20 years. I'll even give you 30. Because I get in arguments all the time over the classics, but that's a whole different podcast. Look 30 years ago and then try to sit there and name good zombie movies or shows that are good compared to what we're getting in total, but just flat out good. The truth is, the hard truth is, they're not that many at all that are actually good. They're good because that's all we got. And that's the truth.
Yeah. I can't remember any from I'm trying to think, the 90s.
You know? Well, yeah. Horde came out, which was a foreign one, and I actually liked that one a lot.
I think it was, you know, I mean, there was a really long period of time there that you were embarrassed to say, I'm into zombies.
Oh, yeah.
So, and now at least it's mainstream and cool.
Yep.
And now we can't get enough, but yeah, it's there's never enough. I'm so bad about playing, you know, zombie related games and then going to bed and reading my zombie book and, you know, and like Justin said, all of our podcasts seem to be some kind of post-apocalyptic thing.
Yeah. Something going on. I mean, yes. The Strain, that was another one that, I mean, you have this virus and epidemic that is starting to take out society. That is vampires. It is vampire related, but that one seems more, vampire related to, I forget the name of the book. The movie was I Am Legend, but I can't remember if the book's the same name.
You know what? I looked into that a lot, too. The book had a different name, and then it was turned into I Am Legend. I'm drawing a blank on this.
The book's fantastic. If nobody's
amazing.
Yeah, the book is
outstanding.
It's so much better than the movie. I mean, it is just way, way better. Yeah, it's way better.
Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith's movie.
All right, hold on. My daughter officially said I'm allowed to do my podcast here with you guys in the room with her.
Oh.
Because she wants to go to bed and close her eyes and shut the TV off.
Oh, nice.
Oh. So
we give you a big Julia.
She must be tired.
Oh, yeah. She was out playing all day. But, yeah, back to thank you, sweetheart. Back to I Am Legend. The book is great for anyone too. You guys heard that?
Yes.
She said, "Whoa, don't shut it off."
Yeah,
I gotta give that much permission.
Just, yeah, I gotta catch that the rest of that in the morning. What are you doing?
Just pause it.
That is hilarious.
All right, where were
How
we?
Old is she?
She's 6.
Still cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cute with fangs.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, they make them smarter and older earlier these days.
Yeah, much wiser.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we were talking about your Walking Dead story and how has that changed your life?
Actually, it gave me a bump that it gave me a opportunity that I never would have had ever in a million years without it, because I can't pick up if I did not have a kid and just say screw this and go to New York or LA and get into acting classes, do auditions and have that kind of life and get into, you know, the entertainment industry or whatever like that. But with The Walking Dead and how it kind of opened my eyes to how perfect my story is that I want to do for the comic medium, that has literally pushed me to the max to get this story out there. But not only that, it has also given me that audience that I am absolutely grateful for every single day. Like, we just hit 40,000 subscribers, I think, like 2 or 3 days ago. But that means a lot, because that audience, when they speak up, like, a publisher will listen. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yeah. There's comic titles out there now that their social online presence might be like 400-500 people.
Yeah.
I had over 1,000 people say, "We want this comic." And I didn't even show them a single image yet. It's just based off previews of the story. So I'm hoping I can, this March, I'm really hoping I can meet these deadlines that I'm putting out there, and I can release the official title with some previews and try to get the Kickstarter going to bring out the comic, at least maybe the first 6 issues or a volume or however is the easiest way to bring that out to the audience.
So, okay, so obviously, you know, we know you from your YouTube channel. What made you, and you said you were writing the screenplay originally, what made you change it to a comic book and decide to go that direction with it?
Simply put, I have to give all the credit to The Walking Dead, because I thought comics were dead. Like, I thought that was a, you know, I thought it was
a dead medium as well.
Yeah, I thought it was on its death rattle years ago. And what I've noticed is it kind of felt like it was, even when you look back on it now. But it looks like that was like such a short period of time, and there was a transition of fans in the comic medium. But it really looks like there's this this comic rising now, where you're getting more people, because of certain things, interested in comic books. Because listen, growing up, we've always had TV shows that were comic characters. Like, we had The Flash years ago, you know, but TV's doing something. TVs and movies are doing something, as well as the audience years ago that were younger are also aging. So we're getting more adults, I feel, that are more interested in these different mediums. You see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It's a little difficult to explain, but I think because of the kind of movies and TV we're making nowadays, and the audience itself, like us aging in that right direction, like, we're all leading towards a bigger audience, is what I'm saying.
I think with the, you know, with comic books especially, and you know, you were talking about the period that it kind of died off. I think that had a lot to do with just the fact that the storytelling had become stale. And,
absolutely.
And
I'll
now, yeah, I mean, you see the comic book medium, it's definitely more respected, and you can tell mm-hmm. different types of stories now with comic books that you weren't really, you know, you probably weren't really allowed before because it was just the DCs and the Marvels yeah. of the world. And now you have, you know, you've got all these other publishers that are coming up, and they're honestly, for me, Image is the number one, you know, comic book publisher, not just for The Walking Dead, but for all their stuff. I mean, they have phenomenal agree. Stories. So, and plus it's just kind of, it's kind of neat, you know, just talking about your comic book and thinking about how you want to do it. It's kind of cool to see stuff visually as well. I mean, just, mm-hmm. just the, that's just like the kid in me. It's like you get to see a story, you read it and you visually see how it's, you know, transpiring in front of your eyes mm-hmm. without seeing it on a TV screen or, you know, movie screen and everything at the same time. So no, it's very cool. I had a question as far as we kind of talked about your, you know, doing videos and stuff. What drove you to start doing these YouTube videos? Because I went back and I looked at a lot of your older videos. I think it was a couple months ago. I think when we first were starting to talk about you coming onto the podcast. And one of my favorite things that you did originally, you may still do it now, I just may have missed a few, but was the retail rescue and dumpster diving.
Yeah.
So is that what you just originally started doing YouTube videos on? And what kind of brought you to doing YouTube videos?
Yeah, well, actually, the dumpster diving and the retail rescue, I'm actually trying to revive retail rescue, but in a different way. Originally, retail rescue was supposed to be finding, like, collectibles that are on clearance or movie memorabilia, stuff like that at flea markets, yard sales. And it was also going to include dumpster diving, but I was doing so much dumpster diving that Retail Rescue basically became the dumpster diving show, which was unfortunate, but that was my mistake by not being diverse enough and doing different things. But I will say that why I started with Retail Rescue is I initially wanted to practice with something, and I did not feel that I had myself situated to do like a talking head type show, which I did experiment with a couple times, but I was working two different jobs and I had a third job that was off and on, and I was literally working like to the, myself to the bone. Like I slept 2 or 3 hours a day, and I did this for over a year, and it was all because of money. I took on the, you know, I had a kid and I was doing it by myself, and I went from having a decent apartment to having a downgrade and then downgrade, and it just kept getting worse. And it's like, we didn't have any money, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
When I did the YouTube channel at the time, I knew I needed something that I could do, but didn't have to do as just a talking head. I needed something else, but I also needed it to fit in my work schedule. And since I was doing I had a third shift where I was doing a newspaper gig, delivering newspapers, I could actually hit the dumpsters as I'm out doing the papers because the retail area was right there. And I do want to clear this up, too. A lot of people don't know. I'm not talking about your disgusting home personal dumpster. We're talking about, like, retail dumpsters where the only thing that goes in there are paper boxes and retail stuff.
It's all dry.
Oh, it's all dry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like the restaurant dumpsters.
Right.
There's people that dive in those, and some of them.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Damn, it's bad.
I am a huge dumpster diving fan. I love doing it. And my mom, Justin's grandma, passed away. I think it was 2009. Mm-hmm. And before she got sick, that was our fun thing to go do. We'd go hit those dumpsters, and I love doing that. And you tell people that, and they look at you like,
yeah,
what?
They're like, oh, you're so weird. What are you doing diving around in dumpsters? I'm like, well, I'm not diving around in your personal trash. Exactly. I don't care about your tampons and nasty stuff that you got going on. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
People are very unaware of what retail stores do. There's a practice in retail stores that will blow the minds of just regular people who are totally unaware that the store is the space inside a store is real estate. And if there's a certain product that's not selling, they will do the math and throw that product out or give it to a surplus store. And what's interesting is I get a lot of people saying like, oh, I'm a manager here and I do this. We don't do that. And I have to say like, well, that's great for you, but it's so many businesses. And I learned about it because I was doing inventory for a clothing store at Burlington, actually. It's a co-factory. I was doing the inventory because someone was sick, one of the people who work in the back. And I was blown away that they had me look at these jeans. How much did they buy? How much profit did they make so far? And then they estimated the clearance on them and how much they would actually make. Then they looked at how much they're paying someone to you know, keep the everything looking nice, fold them. And then they're looking at if they got rid of them and they brought in another pair of jeans, how much profit more are they making? At the end of the day, I threw out the jeans, the ones that were clearance, because wow, the jeans that were replacing them, right, made more money and they sold faster. They made more profit and there just was not any space to hold the clearance jeans. So they literally had us chuck them, a whole stack of jeans, jeans that you could give to a Salvation Army. You can give to homeless people. You could just walk down the street, give them away. It's ridiculous. They just chuck them.
It would seem like companies would not do that anymore, just because it's like if they ever got caught. I mean, could you imagine the backlash on social media of people just going insane about that?
Exactly. And that's with clothing. Like, you have people exposing, and I hate that word because it's ridiculous, but people will expose GameStop. They're exploiting, you know, for their own gain. They want to get their name out there. But you see a lot of people starting to do that. They want to exploit GameStop, but it's the truth that a lot of these stores will throw products away. One of the things where I find some of the best products are surplus stores, and that's because when a truck delivers this product, if anything's broken or the box is beat up, they write it off on insurance, but they can't open it. That's the thing. Once they open it, they have to receive it. So what they do is they'll chuck the whole box and write it off for insurance. I'll come in, dumpster dive, and I'll look at this box. It sounds like broken glass. I'll open it up, and it will be filled with $30, and I'm talking about true story right now, $30 a piece baking dishes, two different sizes, like a little cake one and a big lasagna one, and it was filled. And one of them broke, just one, and they threw out over a dozen of them. It was ridiculous.
I am quitting my job.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Listen, there's a girl, you can Google this right now. There's a girl who did an interview years ago. She has one of those secondhand stores and she made over $1 million just dumpster diving and started her store. If you Google this, somebody showed me this article. If you Google this,
I'm writing it down right now. I know, I am too.
I've got my pen out. Go ahead. What's it? Do you know her name or anything?
We are getting a master's course in dumpster diving now.
Because, you know,
screw these podcasts. I'm done.
You know, the podcast, it's fun, you know, and I like you, Justin, and everything, but dumpster diving.
I like $1 million more, I think.
Exactly. No, I don't like $1 million more than you. I'd like to have both.
Okay. Okay. 2 million and you can, you know, we can have one apiece and we'll exactly. still be friends. So
that'd be great. That'd be great.
My only, dumpster diving story is probably one of those stories that you hear people talk about and gives it the bad rap. I don't know if you're familiar with a store called Hastings, Ronnie. You've heard of it before?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like the best store ever. It's freaking amazing. I love these stores. It's got CDs, it's got movies, mm-hmm. comic books, you know, it's got everything. Toys, video games, and porn. And lots of porn. And apparently, I'm driving by like one night, you know, it's after closing time and everything, and I see mm-hmm. this dude like just going to town in the dumpster next to the Hastings.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. He's just, yeah, not, okay.
When
yeah.
you say, it was when you one say individual. Going to town, okay. what do you mean?
Yeah, he was going nuts on the
on
content.
Himself?
No, he was going nuts on the content. He wasn't, thank God he wasn't going nuts on himself yet, but that's what he was in there doing, was grabbing all the porn magazines, because when the next month comes around and they got the new porn exactly. magazines, they just rip the cover off and chunk them into the dumpster. And I mean, I think this goes with not just porn magazines, but apparently I talked to a friend that worked at Hastings, like, oh yeah, that's Ron. You know, he just goes in there all the time or whatever. And I'm like, what? Yeah. That's It was pretty crazy seeing that. But I loved your video. The one about you were talking about GameStop earlier.
Yeah.
I loved it. But at the same time, I was like, damn, because I buy all those stupid, well, not all the time, but I buy those
the video guides,
those damn strategy guides. It costs like $30 or something.
Yeah.
And you had one.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that video, and you're literally stacking them up on the staircase, and you had like 100 of them, it seemed like.
There was over 3,000. There was like $3,014 worth of of books there.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I got so much shit talking on that video because of those stairs. If you see those stairs, they are filthy. What people don't understand and what you can't really tell is the top of the stairs, that's the entrance to an apartment complex. Those stairs are outside stairs, but they have a covering over them.
Yeah.
And well, it's like this paneling.
They thought it was in your house.
Yeah. Well, that's welcome to the internet. I'm sure I'm used to it now,
but yeah. I thought that was hilarious. I had to put a message in the video saying, guys, these are not my stairs, they're outside stairs, because I was getting so many comments on the steps.
God.
Yeah, people are really funny about their comments on YouTube. I mean, but according to Kelly, you know you're not making it yet until you get that you hope you die comment or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what? When I first talked bad about Daryl and Beth on Walking Dead. Yeah, I got those. I still get those comments when I talked and ranted about the Beth petition, and I talked about how it's not logical. I still get comments that say, "I hope you and your family get cancer." They're like those fans. There's something wrong with them. They're touched.
Yeah. So how many death threats have you got over the whole Daryl Dixon?
A ton.
He's gonna die, and you suck because you don't love Norman Reedus. You just like Daryl Dixon. And so, yeah, I was watching that, and I was like, you go, boy.
You see, part of it, part of the message, and I do this in my videos sometimes, where I'll act as if, or I'll think the audience already knows kind of what I'm talking about. So some of it was my fault, but when I was talking about like those fans, I'm talking about the ones that they are like, everything has to revolve around Daryl Dixon, and he needs to just be like it, and no one else can have any screen time. But at the same time, when I just encouraged them to check out another one of Norman Reedus's movies, they're like, fuck you. I don't want him.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand that madness. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, okay.
That is a very weird part of the Walking Dead fandom. I mean, to be totally honest, Norman Reedus looks the exact same as Daryl in everything that he's done these days.
He is Daryl Dixon.
Yeah, at this point. For Air, it's not like he got some haircut where he went bald or something all of a sudden.
He looked exactly the same.
I'm like,
he sounded the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was still kind of rednecky.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I'm super pumped for Triple Nine. I mean, I don't know how you can be a Daryl fan and not be like, hell yes, Triple Nine looks badass. And
Daryl Dixon and Jesse Pinkman.
Exactly.
He's got a really weird haircut.
He does look really weird in those trailers.
I would not like. Do not bring your children around that man. He looks weird.
Okay, Norman or
Jesse Pinkman.
Aaron Paul. Yeah. He looks a little weird in that movie for sure. I've been trying to avoid most of the trailers and stuff, but I live in Atlanta, so like I knew that when they were filming it here in Atlanta, and I was like, oh man, I just want to go check it out and stuff. So, but I'm excited for that one when it comes out. Well, I don't know. I don't even know where we're at in these questions, and the three questions turned into like a bunch of random stuff. But who cares?
Okay, so we are on your favorite Walking Dead moment.
My favorite. Oh man, you have to bring the hammer down. My favorite Walking Dead moment. Just one.
I know. We've talked about the fact that this is really a very difficult question to answer.
And if you want, you can do two and like have one from, say, the show, and then one from like whatever your favorite moment's been since you've been doing these videos and stuff. So.
My favorite moment. Have you guys talked about yours at all?
We did talk a little bit about it in the podcast that we just recorded earlier. And as far as, show wise, I mean, it really is hard to pick. I told what mine was, Justin.
Yeah, and yours was the Shane and Rick moment in season one.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Actually, it was season two.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, season two. Yes, yes. It was the moment whenever Rick has to kill Shane.
Yeah.
For me, my favorite Walking Dead moment, a part of it's kind of a cop-out because the pilot will forever be, I think, my favorite episode of The Walking Dead. I just loved everything about the world that they were building. I loved these characters that we were introduced to because, like you, I didn't read the comics beforehand. So it was just really cool getting to meet Rick Grimes, to meet Morgan, his kid and everything. And just, you know, when he knocks Rick out with the shovel and whatnot. I just loved that one a lot. If I'm going to have to pick...
Okay, now you are picking. No one said pick an episode.
No,
dude.
No, I know.
You said
I know.
Pick
that's
a
why,
moment.
That's why I'm saying I'm cheating right now. I'm cheating.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. That's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to say.
I'm feeling. I'm feeling the
I mean,
heat that Ronnie's talking about. I'm like,
man, I love the second season.
Yeah, exactly. That was, you know that one season it was
what,
so
from
good.
Season one to season six, episode.
Yeah.
Eight.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That was my favorite moment.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
I'm gonna. I'm. You know, if we're picking The Walking Dead as a whole, and this is a slight spoiler alert for me, this is probably my absolute favorite moment of anything Walking Dead related, which is very weird because it doesn't involve any of our beloved characters, but in episode 5 of the Walking Dead Telltale series season 1, when we lose that certain character.
Oh my God.
That was, I mean, it's one of my favorite scenes and moments in probably The Walking Dead history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
to play
it's so
a video
powerful.
Game and just sit there and bawl. I mean, I cried and cried in it. I mean, it affected me for days and weeks. I mean, it affects me now, but I just remember thinking, oh, I'm just, yeah. So, and that's fair because we say it doesn't have to be.
Well, I've got my one from the TV show. Then I'll let
tell
his, and I'll stop taking up Ronnie's time here with telling all
good,
my favorite
I'm
shit.
Still thinking.
Okay, my other one is whenever the governor, you know, he attacks the prison. I'd have to say that's probably my other favorite scene, and not the first time that he attacks the prison, but the last time whenever you know we have the shootout and everything. So.
That was a very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, episode. When Rick's trying to talk him down and getting Herschel back, and then he cuts Herschel's head. And
you know, Herschel and Rick are, you know, giving each other the eye, and Herschel gives Rick the nod that says, you got this, son. You got this. Whack.
That was probably it for me. So, yeah, there, one from the video game and one from the TV show. So,
you know what? My moment is probably going to be underwhelming. When you asked what was my favorite moment, something popped in my head that this whole time I've been trying to find a different moment because I just didn't think it would be, like, you know, that grand to talk about. But it would be Sophia coming out of the barn. Because I think it's still, to this day, I think it's one of the most powerful moments in The Walking Dead. And not just because it reveals Sophia, but because Shane was talking so much shit and he couldn't even do it. Like, he himself was like, fuck,
yeah.
You know? And Rick had to just look around and be like, you know what? And Rick stepped forward, and that was the moment where it was like Rick got his redemption. Because, like, he stepped forward like, he can do this. He can bury that burden. You know, he can do what needs to be done and put this poor girl down. That moment for me was just damn near perfect on the show. It was one of the greatest moments. I know it was also one of the saddest moments to a lot of fans, but I think it was just epic, that scene. Because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot I can pinpoint just because when you study screenwriting, you feel the flow of it. You really do. And it's not like a hidden talent. You can see the beats. But that was like, I was so invested in Shane freaking out. I didn't even think about Sophia. Like, that whole episode, I'm focused on Shane. he's flipping, and I forgot Sophia was missing. And when she came out of the barn, I was like, oh, deep. But even more so was, for some reason for me, was Rick stepping forward and putting her down. I think that was probably my greatest moment in The Walking Dead so far.
That is an excellent moment for the whole Rick thing, and also so we could stop looking for her, damn it. Oh, thank God. We can just kill her and go on.
We finally found her.
What were you going to say?
It's weird when, you know, once you read the comic books and everything that they took that turn in the TV show, but I don't know if it was something along the lines of, was it Madison Lentz's character, right?
Yeah.
And I
felt
read
like
the,
that was necessary though. What did you read?
Well, I read the whole backstory of why they did that, you know, let alone that it did work wonderfully for the show. And like you said, I mean, it totally was that moment where now Rick is looked upon as he can lead the group. I mean, we liked, you know, some of the traits that he had kind of portrayed in the first season. You know, he illustrated some nice leadership qualities, but that was the one moment where it was like, Shane, step off. I got this shit. Yep. And, you know, he does it his way. But I read that basically she wasn't sure if she wanted to continue acting.
Really?
Yeah. And so like there was this whole backstory of her not so sure if she wanted to continue acting. And then by the time that she was like, yeah, I think I do want to do this, they had already wrote this scene and, you know, killing her off and anything.
Yeah,
because, I mean, when you really think about it, you know, in season two, it annoyed a lot of people that we were looking for her so long.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we weren't really looking for her whole lot. That was just kind of the underlying, you know, storyline. It's like, well, shit, where's Sophia at? We got to look for her again a little bit in this episode because that's just what's going on right now in the back portion of the story. But yeah, as far as I know, that's what I've read on that backstory, because I mean, now you see Madison Lentz. I mean, she's acting in some other shows and everything, but that'd be a bummer.
I thought they killed her character off because of her age. I thought she was just aging, you know, quick, and they
too
were
rapidly.
Like, you know what? This isn't going to work. And it technically wouldn't. You look at her now and you're like, How would they have made her look, you know, a lot younger? Even Carl, his aging, it's a problem for a TV show. It is, because it kind of steals some of the realism out of it, especially if you marathon the seasons. His look just jumps.
No, I completely agree. I was looking on his either his Facebook or his Twitter account, and it was a picture of him and Madison Lentz side by side, like at some convention or something, and he said 4 years ago, and I'm like, that's the same kid. Like this, you know, this is insane. And especially if you look at Madison Lentz now, I mean, she's becoming like this really, really pretty, gorgeous girl. And when you see Sophia in the comic books, I mean, I know that they could play her, you know, play her looks down in the TV show with makeup and whatnot, but that's not what you, when you think of Sophia in the comic books, you kind of think of the tough girl. I don't know, that could have played into it as well, but I still think it was needed in the show, and it was definitely an impactful scene. So
nice
choice.
Yeah, I think it was great. The only thing it kind of pushes my buttons on though, even though it was absolutely great, is this splitting the seasons up, and then sometimes it feels like it forces that story to fit that episode. And that's like we were looking for this whole time, and you're thinking, if they didn't have a mid-season break, would she die in that episode or two episodes earlier? I feel like it would be earlier. I feel like they do those beats, and sometimes it restricts the writing, I feel, because it has to stretch it out.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you look at Netflix shows, the way that they're doing like Daredevil and some of the narratives in those shows, and you look at The Walking Dead, you definitely can kind of see some formulas starting to emerge and patterns that sometimes I wish they wouldn't have the mid-season break. It's nice sometimes because, you know, if you're like us and podcasting the show, and if, you know, you're doing the YouTube videos for it, it kind of
nice
gives
break.
You, yeah, it gives you a nice breather of, you know,
especially over the holidays.
yeah, exactly. So, but, and I guess it makes it last longer for us fans and in the sense of it's not all 16 in a row, like Game of Thrones. I'm like, wait, it's It's over with.
What the hell? Started. Yep. That can't be right.
Absolutely. Well, you know what a lot of fans don't realize too, and I have this conversation on my channel all the time. If they got rid of the break in between seasons, the break from season to season grows longer. There's way to do it any other way. And a lot of fans don't realize they're actually editing. They're editing still with the sound mixing and everything. Mm-hmm. I think they're on episode 14 or 13. Like, if we could put it into perspective, they can't just add more episodes right now to make those breaks shorter. Because right now, they're still doing sound mixing on, you know, 14-ish. And they still got two more to completely finish. So it's a long process.
Yeah, because they don't finish filming until right around November-ish most of the time. I mean, so you're looking at 16 there. Well, there's no way that they're going to just like, oh, we finished it yesterday, and then the next day we're going to start editing on it. No, that's –
Plus, they take a break for holidays and everything too, and they got to promote, and it has to be promoted during the right times, scheduled around Comic-Con usually, you know. I mean, that's only the smart thing to do because you get your biggest congregational audience right there every year.
We always look forward to July because that means we're getting a new Walking Dead trailer and everything. Yep. So it's pretty awesome. Okay, our last question before we get to the bonus question, of course, which means
my daughter's actually asleep, so I got, you know, a little bit more free time, so I'm good on time.
Awesome. I'm good. We just want to know, what are your predictions and thoughts on the back half of season 6? And, you know, I know you're a comic book reader now because you do the reviews for each issue when it comes out and everything. So cutting the comic books out, which I know is difficult sometimes. But so what are your feelings on, you know, who do you think's going to live? Who do you think's going to die in the back half of season 6? And what are your overall thoughts on the back half of season 6?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to predict the story by forgetting about the comic. That's almost impossible. However, I can predict deaths without using the comic. I think that gets a little easier because they switch it up so much and no character gets his same comic book death anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. They did that with some minor characters in season 1, but after that, no character gets their comic book death. So story-wise, I think it's close to impossible to automatically predict they're going to meet a new community unless you've read the comics. So I'm just making excuses why I'm going to bring up the comic every now and then. But as far as the story-wise, we are going to shift out of No Way Out, and I'm getting a feeling, and No Way Out is the for the listeners who don't read the comic, that's where we're at now with the zombies, the walkers, inside Alexandria. So obviously we're going to end that story arc with a lot of bloodshed, I'm hoping
you're like, I want a lot of people to die.
I'm hoping. Well, here's the thing with deaths too, we don't really need a lot. We can get, you know, we can fill our bloodlust with just that last wolf that's left alive. And I think this is not I think it's going to happen only one way, because if you look at where we left off, we have Rick and them covered in guts heading out into the herd, out in the streets of Alexandria. Then coincidentally, they were – not coincidentally, but you get what I mean. They were changing the – they were editing it, splicing it between that and the wolf getting free and getting Denise out into the streets of Alexandria. So I have a hard time believing they're going to take those two different things and go different directions, considering – Alexandria is only two streets, you know what I mean? So there's a 50-50 chance the wolf and Denise are going to run right into Rick and gang, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of hoping that does happen, and then you got the kid, obviously, who's saying, mommy, mommy.
Stupid kid. They should have left him in the house.
I know. Stay here, we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll come
Stay
back.
In your closet.
Yeah.
But I will have to say, what makes me nervous as a comic book fan is I want this certain death, Jessie and her kids, just putting it out there. But in the comic, after No Way Out, after it was all done, we saw a resident of Alexandria as a walker, and Abraham put it down. And I'm thinking, we're going to get Denise as a walker, and they're going to have to put her down. I don't know if she's going to come stumbling out of the house, but we already got that promo image of Denise as a walker, if a lot of people didn't realize, because it has her necklace, it has her wedding ring, and it's clearly Denise as a walker.
Oh, you mean Deanna, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Deanna. Yeah, okay, What am I saying? Deanna.
Well, they're confusing, definitely, the Denise and Deanna's and everything.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about the wolf and Denise, and I just kept with that name for some reason. obviously, we're going to get done with the ordeal in Alexandria, and if we can just get Jesse as a death, Sam, I don't see any way out of it for him. Maybe Ron, but I'm also going to count him out. I don't know if that seems like it's just going to be more problematic storyline, more friction, and I think they'll want to cut that out of there. So I'm guessing the Anderson family's a goner. Jesse might actually survive. I'll be a little upset if that happens. but then we just get the wolf death too. I think that'll hold us over for Bloodlust. And I'm really hoping for a gladiator-style battle with these walkers in the street.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, I can't. I hope we get that. They showed us a little snippets, but I'm really hoping we get just blood, sweat, tears, and I'm talking Father Gabriel better be out there too, and you get Heath and Spencer and just everybody. You get Glenn trying to make it on the inside, Maggie, who looks like she actually got shot by one of Deanna's stray bullets. That's got to be a definite, because if you look back at it, it looks like she got clipped with one of those bullets in the leg, I should say. After this, obviously, they're going to rebuild or try to rebuild in some way, drag all the bodies out. And we do know they casted a new character we're going to meet from a different community. And this is kind of where I'm real curious to see how they're going to do it, because I feel like, in a way, if they don't do it right, it can feel very, very rushed. So I'm real curious how they're going to go about introducing a new community, which I feel like they already set up, because keep in mind, they talked about being low on food already. And we know from the comic book, they were low on food at the time they met the new character, and that's why they made the deal they made.
Gotcha. I'm excited to see the new communities. I mean, even if you haven't read the comic books, I mean, you see these promotional arts and everything in the sense of a larger world.
Yeah.
So we know that the characters are going to run into more communities, which I think that that's going to bring the Walking Dead show into a really, really nice territory, because it's kind of weird. It's like, we know that there's got to be other people that exist out there, just like, us as humans, we're always out there searching for aliens, and then the other day scientists are like, nope, there's no aliens out there. I'm like, bullshit. There's like so many different universes out there. You're going to tell me that there's nobody else out there? That's kind of how it's been on the show. It's like we've kept our focus on these little centralized groups and everything, and I'm excited for the show in the sense that I honestly hope that, once we get to it with these other communities, that they showcase these other communities and give us lots of story about them. Like, not necessarily like, oh, well, Daryl's at the community, so we got to talk about this other community or something. Go off on side tangents and just show us that. I mean, for me, the Eastman and Morgan episode worked so well when you look at this first half of the season as an episode, because it had that beginning, middle, and end, which we never really get to see in the Walking Dead episodes ever. But I loved it. It was one of the standout episodes for me.
I agree.
Yeah, so I'm hoping we get more of that. Maybe not so much in the back half of season 6, because I think they'll be, like you said, having to rebuild and everything, and meeting these other communities. But next season and future seasons, I hope that's kind of the stuff we start getting. So
I think this is, if we forget about it feeling rushed because of the comic book, if we just take a minute and forget about that, because there's definitely room for them to do it right all the way. It's refreshing, I think, and it'll help those fans who are pissed, like, oh, here we go again. They're on the farm again, but this is Alexandria. This is going to be really refreshing, because they get to meet new characters. They get introduced to a new community. Not only that, they're not just reintroduced to this community. They're introduced to a community that's being extorted. There's already a story going on in the new community. So our characters are going to go right out of the madness of No Way Out, and then they're going to be thrown right into these new communities and this other story that's going on. So I am really excited about that part. And I think a lot of the fans that are annoyed that they're staying in one spot, I think a lot of those fans will start coming around once they realize the scope of what's going to happen, meeting, you know, colliding with these this other gang and this other community.
Yeah, I think so. I've told a lot of people that have kind of waned on The Walking Dead. I'm like, if you don't do anything, start watching now. Like now, yeah. I think it's some of the most exciting content that we're going to see on The Walking Dead TV show, you know, based on stuff that's happened in the comic books and everything. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
You actually talk to those people?
You know, every once in a while.
I wouldn't talk to them. And like,
you don't watch The Walking Dead anymore?
Screw you.
What kind of fan are you? You're terrible.
Unfollow.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I try to go at people with an open mind.
Oh, whatever.
And I'm like, okay, well, tell me why you stopped watching the show. And then I'm like, oh, you're an idiot. I don't want to talk to you.
So, I just called them a troll and leave.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we have our last bonus question for you. And you get to answer one of the two, either one that you want. The first one is, what would your zombie killing weapon of choice be? And then the second is zombie... Yeah, what would your zombie killing catchphrase be? And most everybody has picked, not to spoil your answer if you're going to pick this, Michonne's katana. Yeah. Like that's a go-to, which, you know, it's the obvious.
Pick a weapon that's already in the show?
No. You can
pick whatever.
Create your own weapon if you want.
All right. I'm going to go with an ice phrase. Pick.
Oh, an ice pick?
No, because I think if you practice jabbing very fast in the eyes, you can take out a lot of them.
Well, and it's a smooth instrument, so it comes back out instead of like with a hatchet, you know, or an axe. Yeah. It gets stuck in their head
This one is especially a rotted head, the way they just squish on the show. You either go for the temple or right in the eye socket, bang bang bang, next thing you know you're jabbing them all down.
Shivs, is that what you're thinking of, Kelly? Shivs?
No, I'm an ice pick. I'm thinking of an ice pick.
Oh, okay.
It's just a little round.
Yeah, it's. Do you not know what an ice pick is, Justin?
No. I know it. I'm just. For me right now, I'm thinking of shivs for whatever reason. But I don't know why I'm thinking of shivs. I'm thinking of melting my toothbrush down. And,
exactly. You're gonna go all prison on us.
Yeah, I'm gonna go prison on them in the Walking Dead universe, but. No, I think an ice pick would work.
It would either be an ice pick or a tomahawk.
Yeah. A tomahawk? Oh,
yeah. It'd either be an ice pick or a tomahawk. The reason I say the ice pick, though, is because of what you guys brought up just a minute ago, is how easy it is to get in and out, I would imagine, because there's nothing it's going to get hung up on.
Right.
And here's the way I'm thinking about it is I'm not going to waste time killing a walker unless it's, you know, directly up on me because I'm out, you know? So I might as well just go with the ice pick because I'm not going to waste my time unless he's right there. So I'm just going to go bang, bang, bang.
This is a very very northern answer, though. Where are you from originally?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah. See, because that's not an item that I would assume is very readily available.
An ice
in
pick?
Georgia. Who's got an ice pick in Texas and Georgia?
An ice pick. You use it in your freezer to break the ice apart, not something.
What kind of I don't. I mean.
Oh my God.
Maybe I'm missing on the ice picks of the world.
I will send you a picture of it.
Somebody needs to send me an ice pick because apparently I need one around in the zombie apocalypse.
They're very useful.
I have one drawer.
I have one in my drawer. I don't think I've ever used it though, but I got it.
Hey, well, that's all that matters. You've got it around.
It's also super good for like resetting your DVR because it's really
router.
Skinny. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Your router.
That is a good usage for it.
Well, I need an ice pick. All I've got around is golf clubs. So, I mean,
and your baseball bat.
Yeah, and my baseball bat. The governor's my inspiration, so I keep the golf clubs around.
Yeah.
So.
Well, being from the part of the country that I'm from. I have guns everywhere.
That's true. Yeah. You're like, what's my favorite zombie killing weapon? Guns.
Guns. I don't have to get too close.
Yeah.
I was going through a drawer looking for a charger earlier, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is where all my extra ammo is.
Yeah, exactly. Right next to the butter knives.
Exactly. And the ice pick. So
that's pretty funny. Yeah, nobody said a gun yet, which is kind of, that is kind of funny that nobody's like go to is like, oh, a rocket launcher or something like
well,
that.
Well, and see, so. I started thinking the rocket launcher because of playing, you know, Fallout.
Yeah, playing Fallout, yes.
Because you can be so far away.
Exactly.
But it is so super heavy.
Yeah. In real life, yeah, that's a pain in the ass. Right
yeah,
now.
And,
so
and find,
ditch it.
Yeah, and finding the ammo for it might be difficult, too.
Yeah, it's not just laying around like it is in Fallout. So.
No, exactly. And how many guns, you know, in Fallout, I probably am carrying 8-9 guns and a rocket launcher.
Yeah, the dude's like the Incredible Hulk. I mean, he
and mine's a girl.
Like 1,000
Mine
pounds.
Is a girl.
Oh, yeah, yours is a girl. That's right. Yeah. So. Well, Ronnie, we really appreciate you coming on and chatting with us. It's been a lot of fun.
There is one thing, if I can interrupt you one
minute.
Yeah, I've been meaning to say this when Kelly asked about the comic. What made me decide to – or was that you, Justin? I forget, but you guys asked
me.
Why it was the – well, I started going into my thing to give backstory, and I left out the biggest reason why I chose a comic – and that is the length. The length of the screenplay. Remember when I said it was, you know, my grand idea of having a 4-to-5-part movie? The reason is because I had built this story and so big, I couldn't do a trilogy originally. It was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a part one and part two. No, it's too big. It's going to be a trilogy. And then it got so big, I'm like, crap, this freaking thing's 4 or 5 movies. I don't know how the hell I'm doing this. And that was my biggest problem, even like sending it in to anybody, was the length. There's no way I'm going to get that through unless I'm already established in the entertainment industry. So when I was first got into the Walking Dead comic, I'm looking at this like, man, this came out in 2003. It's already 10-year anniversary. And I'm like, look at all this story. This is what I need because I have this very long, you know, epic tale that I want to talk about as far as like there's a lot of there's some politics in it, but there's a lot of oppression in it because it has to deal with concentration camps like in the zombie apocalypse, like when it starts breaking down. So it's, you know, I took that kind of aspect to it. So there's such a huge story, but it was the length 100%. That had me sold on the idea to make a comic book. Not only that, like Justin, you were talking about before, the images, sometimes the art can just get gorgeous. It's like awesome movie posters back to back.
Yeah,
know?
No, right, exactly. Right. Yeah, if you get the right artist for a comic, man, it is just, I mean, so visually stunning. And you don't have to have any words. I mean, it's just like the picture says it all and everything. So, no, that's really cool. So if anybody wants to find out about the comic book, about anything, where's the best place to find you? Facebook, Twitter?
Well, you can find me, on Facebook and Twitter. Now, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ronnie Hayes. And the O in Ronnie is actually a number zero, because it wouldn't let me do it the other way around. But it's all capital letters. The O is a zero. You'll figure it out. So at Ronnie Hayes on Twitter, on Instagram, at Ronnie Hayes. And then on Facebook, you can find me at Ronnie Hayes. You can find Make a Path Presents, which is the YouTube channel that has its own page. And then on Facebook, you'll have to look up Dead Living. That's only the working title before I make the announcement of the official title. So Dead Living isn't the real title, but if you wanted to find it, you would have to look on Facebook for a page called Dead Living.
Gotcha.
So, and that'll just give like a posting
your
progress?
I do all the updates on Dead Living. I'm going to start doing a mini update every Friday. And if I make a video, I also post that video on the Facebook page, and I just try to get it out there on Twitter and Instagram, trying everywhere. I drop little hints. So if you want to find me, you got plenty of options.
I do have to say that I just searched Dead Living on Facebook. Yeah. One of the first things that came up, A woman was found dead in a motel in Florida with two live monkeys and a note. So
two live monkeys and a note?
Yeah, I'm like, what was that movie with Dustin Hoffman where like the monkeys brought the diseases and killed everybody?
Oh,
like,
oh yeah.
Oh, Outbreak, shit. Yeah, I think it was just Outbreak, yeah. Uh-oh. Everybody better watch out in Florida right now. So
actually, if you're on Facebook, can you type in map, M-A-P-P, and then do dead living? See what comes up? Because I think I had to do that in order to get the name registered on Facebook.
Yeah, it comes up. It says it's a book series.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's MAPP, M-A-P-P, which is the acronym for Make a Path Presents, obviously, and then Dead Living. And you should be able to find it easily if you type that in Facebook.
I just went and liked it right now. So if you're listening to the podcast, go do the same. You got to up
I liked
January
it too.
3rd. So.
Awesome. There you go.
Yeah, it's growing already.
I'm very excited about hearing about the comic book. It sounds amazing. It sounds like something Kelly and I are going to be super into. So definitely keep us up to date, and we'll keep up to date by going to your Facebook and everything. And again, definitely go subscribe to his channel. I think one of the best Walking Dead content creators out there on YouTube. It's Make a Path Presents. So go check it out on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Thanks again, Ronnie, so much for coming on, chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
It was a lot of fun. And
finally, we did it.
I know, exactly. We finally made it. Yes. And see, now you realize, okay, they're not totally creepy and weird.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you guys are fucking strange.
Yeah. Yeah. you're like, yeah, I won't be coming on again. I think that was it. See you guys later.
we're definitely, anyone listening, if you haven't left by yet, already.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I rambling every now and then? Yeah, I plan on coming on again when the show's back. So if you guys are going to have me, if you're listening, I'm open to come back on. And now that I know it's a little bit more laid back and I can, you know, hold on, guys, my daughter's kicking me saying, shut up, dude.
Put the movie back on, damn it.
That's right.
It's skipping.
Yeah, no, we're totally laid back on here. So yeah, anytime you want to come on, you are definitely more than welcome. We're excited about the back half of season 6, excited about having you come on and chatting about it. So thanks so much, everybody, for listening to the podcast. You can find us on Gmail. It's thewalkingnaked@gmail.com. Facebook and Twitter, just search The Walking Naked. Thanks so much, and we'll be back talking about the season 6 here pretty soon. So,
woo!
Yes, very excited.
We
can't wait either. So thanks so much again, and we hope everybody has a fantastic rest of their day.
Bye-bye. I'm waving.
Waving on a listening audio podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bye, everybody.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming, and I reap what I done sowed. Hey, hey. Well, let me tell you.